124,000 Sahaba approximately gathered, and he's speaking to them and advising them that this is the ummah that he had worked with. So he's giving them beautiful advices. So some of the things that he mentioned, and he said that إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ قَدْ إِسْتَدَارَ كَهَيَّتِهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that time has returned to its original state like the way Allah Pak had. In other words, it has done one cycle, it has completed its time. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it, the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, then he's explaining what is the time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it clear, because in those days, in the time of Jahiliyyah, they would change the months around. So once you change the months around, then it becomes very difficult which month is going to be Ramzan, which month is going to be Hajj, which month is going to be Rajab, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Sahaba, he said, told them that As-sanatu ithna ashara shahran, in a year there's 12 months, minha arba'atun hurum, four are sacred, thalathun mutawaliyatun dhul qa'ada wa dhul hijjah wal muharram, three of these sacred months are consecutive, that is dhul qa'ada, dhul hijjah and muharram. What the people in Jahiliyyah would do was they found that 3 months together were too long, so they wanted to engage in warfare. Now the way for them to engage in warfare was, they can only engage in those months that were not sacred. So they would take that month of Muharram, because now that was the third month, they would take that month of Muharram and they will change it. They'll swap it around with Safar. So now the month of Muharram will come, they'll say, no, it is Safar. So now it is permissible for us to engage in battle. So they'll play games like that by changing the names of the months, etc. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making it clear that these 3 months, they come consecutively. وَرَجَبْ مُضَرُ الَّذِي بَيْنَ جُمَادَ وَشَعْبَانَ, and Rajab of the tribe of Mudar is between Jumad al-Ukhra and Sha'ban. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to impress upon Sahaba, he mentioned these three things. He said, أَيُّ شَهْرٍ هَذَا, that which month is it? So Sahaba said, قُلْنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَعْلَمْ, we said Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. فَسَكَتَ حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيْسَمِّهِ بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهِ, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained silent. This thing about remaining silent is nothing for us to feel embarrassed about. Sometimes a person is asked a question, he needs to think about the answer. This is nothing to be embarrassed. Imagine this was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Sahaba that what month is it? It's impossible that Sahaba wouldn't have known what month is it. But they had, out of respect, said Allahu Rasulu Alam, they hadn't answered. So sometimes out of respect not to give an answer, there's nothing wrong with that. Especially if it's a senior person or somebody else, that we let them speak. And then in turn, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept quiet also. Not like he didn't know, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent to show that sometimes to remain silent, there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes we feel that if somebody asks us something on the spur of the moment, we're going to give the answer. We don't have to say. This was such an obvious thing, but yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alaysa Dhul-Hijjati, is this not the month of Dhul-Hijjah? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, that Ayyu baladi hadha, that which city is this? قُلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ عَلَمْ, we said that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. It is also impossible for them not to have known that that was Makkah Sharif. They were born there, they were brought up there, that was their life. Makkah Sharif was their life, so to speak. So much of love they had, so it was impossible. But yet they said Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again they said that he remained silent. And then he said, أَلَيْسَ الْبَلْدَةَ, is this not the sacred city? قُلْنَا بَلَى, we said yes. Then he said, أَيِّ يَوْمِ هَذَا, that what day is this? So again the same reply. They said that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. They said he kept quiet, he remained silent. We thought that maybe he'll name this day by some other day. Like how before they said, we thought he'll name this month and he'll name the city by some other city. So yeah, they said that we thought he'll give the name, he'll give the name of the day some other name. Then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَادَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. Rasulullah sallam impressed upon us, he said, like how you people, like how this day is very sacred. Imagine this was not an ordinary day. It was the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba were on Hajj. Nowadays you find if a person is the plain of Arafat, that even the hardest of person, he just melts, he starts crying, he makes dua. People here also are imitating the Hujjaj, they're imitating the Hujjaj in the sense that they are also with them in terms of dua, in terms of ibadat. People here keep fast. Obviously there are those that are in Hajj that day, they're not fasting. But here we keep fast because of the day. So it is not an ordinary day. Day of Hajj, everyone understands, but imagine the day of Hajj, would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would Sahaba, he's telling them that inna amwalakum, inna dima'akum, your wealth, your blood, your wealth and your honor is sacred. Like how this day is sacred, like how this month is sacred, like how the city is sacred. Every person's wealth, every person's honor, every person's blood is sacred. In other words, if you're going to do anything wrong, it's like you're doing something wrong to this day. Imagine if somebody on the day of Arafat, he, for example, he goes for Hajj and he says, no, today is the day of Arafat, I just think I must go to Medina Sharif, I'm feeling like going for Ziyarat. What will you tell such a person? He says, such a fool you are. There is time for you to go to Medina Sharif, there is time for you to do this, there is time to do, but this is the day of Arafat, you should be making wukuf of Arafat. So like that, a person, he is not valuing the sacredness of a person's wealth, he's as though he's going against the day of Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his Sahaba, such a momentous occasion, just by a person not being careful about somebody else's honor, somebody else's wealth, and somebody else's blood. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to impress even further upon this, he told him at the end, Allah liyuballighu ash-shahid al-ghaib, those that are present, take this message to those that are absent. This is not an ordinary message that I'm giving you, it's a very serious message. And then in the end of it, he says that Allah hal ballaght. Then he asked, did I convey the message to you people? They said yes. Then he said, Allahumma shahad, three times, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you bear witness that I have given this message. So this is no ordinary message, looking after the respect of someone, not making the ghibat, not speaking against them, not slandering them, not picking out against them, not taking their wealth unlawfully, and not taking their blood, meaning either killing them, either hurting them, injuring them, etc. This we should never ever be doing. Think of it to be as sacred as the day of Arafat, and the day with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, how momentous it is. Think of everyone's wealth, everyone's health, everyone's honor, and their blood, etc., as momentous as it. Today's hadith, not a very long hadith, and Abi Umama Yas ibn Tha'laba al-Hadithi radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam قال: من اقتطع حق امرئ مسلم بيمينه فقد أوجب الله له النار وحرم عليه الجنة. فقال رجل: وإن كان شيئا يسيرا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال: وإن قضيبا من أراك. رواه مسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was showing Sahaba is how serious it is to take somebody else's thing unlawfully. He said that if a person, he takes somebody else's thing unlawfully by means of an oath, what would happen in those days, even up till now in the Muslim countries, is the person doesn't have full evidence. Something belongs to him, some asset belongs to him, but he doesn't have full evidence to prove that asset is his, and in meanwhile somebody else has taken that asset. Whatever it is, say it is a cell phone, or it is a car, or it is a property, somebody else is using it, but this person doesn't have full evidence to prove it is his. So now he'll go to the court. If he's got good evidence, then obviously the court will see the evidence and they'll award him that asset, whatever it is. But if he doesn't have good evidence, what they will do is they'll ask the opposing party, the person who's accused of taking asset, to take an oath. Take that oath that this asset is yours. In other words, take an oath that what this man is saying is not true. He's claiming to be him, you're taking oath, it's yours, what he's saying is not true. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that person, whoever does this, he takes something else unlawfully by means of taking an oath. He takes an oath that this is mine, it's not his. So he takes an oath, a qasam. So then Rasulullah SAW explains, what is the outcome of this? He says, فَأَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ النَّارِ. Allah Pak makes Jahannam wajib upon him. Allah makes Jahannam necessary upon this person. وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Pak makes Jannat haram upon him. So this person can't get to go to Jannat. Ulama explained, they gave it further, that at some point he'll eventually go, but he'll have to pay for his sins. He'll have to spend some time in the fire of Jahannam so that he can get cleansed. And then, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ, then one person asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if it's something small he took? Right, he took an oath and he took somebody's thing. What if it's something small? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even if it be a twig from the araq tree. Araq tree is the tree generally that we use to get our miswaks, etc. So even if he takes one, such a small thing he had taken of somebody else's, a small twig, it belonged to somebody else, that twig, he took that. Even if it's that, it's still the same thing will happen, that Jahannam will become wajib upon him, Jannat will become haram upon him. So you can imagine how serious it is to take anybody else's property. Allah Pak save us. If we had ever taken anything, we should ask that person for maaf, make an attempt to try and return it, settle it before that day comes. We will desire to go into Jannah, but because of one small foolish thing we did, of taking somebody else's property, we can be deprived. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.